Welcome to Money in Mission, where every week we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom. A great big shout out and thank you to the folks here at Holy Family Radio for airing the show. And Joe Nevestinsky sitting right over there. Russ Fry, too, I think, right?
That's right.
Yeah. If you have an opportunity sometime to look up Joe and Russ, do that and give them a great big thank you for airing the show.
That's right. And if there's just one thing you walk away with from this show, it's that you are in a better position when you build wealth on a foundation of biblical wisdom.
Yeah, that's so true. Eric, I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And we're co-hosting Money in Mission right here on Holy Family Radio. Do you ever wonder how your money and your stuff, you know, the things you own, how they are actually helping you live out what you really feel called to in your heart? You know, there's so much peace of mind that comes when you can sense that your money is aligned with your values and your convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there's really, really peace of mind that comes when you just know deep down that your financial goals are in sync with your values and convictions. That's because there's so much anxiety that happens when things aren't aligned. And you probably know what that feels like.
That's correct. And, you know, it's easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us from every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming.
Yeah, it really can, right, Eric? All that terminology, I mean, just everywhere you look, it's
right.
Terminology, it's ideas, philosophies,
mm-hmm.
right? Different competing principles. Really, I mean, every time you look, it seems like this idea is going one direction, and then another idea goes a different direction. And of course, financial products and different services, keeping it all straight can just be downright confusing.
And possibly even scary, right?
Possibly even scary. Yeah, it seems like the more you have, the scarier it can possibly be. And when you're confused, you simply don't make good decisions, right? I mean, I don't know anyone who makes good decisions when they're confused. And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be,
mm-hmm.
and it can actually hurt you and those that you care about really badly as well.
That's correct. So each week, we'll talk about some of the current financial events so you have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean. So we look forward to you listening in.
Right, yeah, and part of the way through the show every week, we'll get to our weekly puzzler. Now, a weekly puzzler is a brain teaser. Yeah, it's a puzzle, right? And we don't know if the puzzle will actually be interesting to you, right? But for sure, it's interesting to us, and we hope it'll be interesting to you. Joe is sitting over here giving me a look. So, all right, James. We'll see how that goes, right?
That's right. Well, let's just recap this week in review. So, James, you know, what did you think was a financial news headline throughout this past week?
Yeah, so I just noticed the yield curve is still really inverted.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that you get better interest when you're putting your money on deposit for short term, like 6 months or a year. You're getting better interest in the short term than if you're putting money on deposit for longer term, like 10 years or 20 years. A normal yield curve would sort of have a 45 degree angle,
right?
With the lowest part of the angle being the near term deposits.
Then going to the longer term.
Going to the long term, right. That's because typically you would expect, right, if I loan money to you or if I deposit it at a bank or some other financial institution, if I loan it out for, say, 20 years, I would expect to get more interest than if I just put it on deposit short term.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's that concept, time value of money, correct?
Time value of money, risk of money, and so on. That's right. So the yield curve is inverted, and that's really happening because for years now, decades, actually, we've had really, really cheap money.
Mm-hmm.
We probably all know people who have mortgages or they refinanced at, say, 2.5% or some really, really low rate. And those people who have really low rates have no incentive whatsoever to pay the money back.
Right.
Right? They're not obligated to. So that paper is going to hang around for a really long time. And as interest rates start to go up, it just results in this inverted yield curve.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of things for folks that they have to worry about. And it's interesting when we see that inverted yield curve, a lot of strategies that come into play that are just out of the norm of customary strategies, right?
That's right.
Some of the things that, why don't you explain some of the things that, like a bond ladder, that's a concept that one folks have been talking about these days with the inverted yield curve that I've heard lately.
Yeah, so we'll just take a minute and talk about that and then hit one other line item I think that we'll have time for in this opening segment. But the basic idea of any kind of a ladder like that is where you have different maturities, whether you have different maturities of certificates of deposit or different bond maturities, and you lay those out with different maturity dates and to try to
capture on that inverted curve.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So, but that's maybe something we'll cover in more detail on a different show. And the other line item, really, I think that I wanted to hit on was that last Wednesday.
That's right, the news.
Last Wednesday, CPI was reported again, and it's just CPI is another common name for inflation. So, right? I mean,
that's what we all know about.
We all know
it.
And
we're feeling it, too.
And we're feeling it. That's right. And I think everyone is feeling it. But what happens, and it's been interesting that we hear terminology like, hey, inflation is sticky, which means it's sticking around longer than anybody thought that it might. But basically what happens in the CPI is you have a bunch of statisticians over at the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, and they are keeping track of how much stuff costs.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep notes on this, and their notes turn into a report, and that report turns into the CPI.
Well, what kind of things do they track on that report?
Yeah, so they actually categorize stuff that they're keeping track of into like 200 different categories.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Joe, do you think we have time to read all 200 categories? He's shaking his head. Don't do that. You'll lose your audience, right? But those 200 categories can actually be broken down into like 8 different basic groups, right? So food and beverages, housing, furniture, you know, what it costs to keep up a house, repairs, so on and so forth, apparel, transportation, medical care, recreation, education and communication, and then the classic other goods and services, right?
Well, are burgers and fries included in food and beverages?
That's a really good question, and I don't know. Okay, it seems like the kind of thing that we should figure out before we get on the air, but I don't know. I honestly think if you bought a burger, like over at the grocery store, that would be included.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you went to a fast food restaurant, probably that may not be included. Just not sure on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is actually something called a Big Mac Index.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
the Big Mac.
You had introduced me to that.
That's right.
Like 6 or 8 months ago. That's right.
It's actually an index that talks about how much McDonald's menu prices are increasing. I mean, we're all feeling that as well.
Wow.
Did you know that a Big Mac only costs 17 cents back in 1964?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's enormous.
Today, the average price is almost $8.
Yeah.
And come to think of it, there should be something called a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Index as well.
Yeah, that would be depressing, though, right? I mean, when I was in college, these peanut butter cups, I did this study, right? And back then, they were like 25 cents for a package of two.
Oh.
But you know what else I figured out?
What's that?
If you ate 50 packages of those two packs of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, you would have 100% of your USRDA of calcium.
And 100% bellyache.
And 100% of some other things, that's right. So anyway, but you know, the CPI comes out monthly, usually between the 10th and the 15th of each month, and it summarizes all the price changes for the prior month. You can actually go to the Department of Bureau and Labor and Statistics website, go to www.bls.gov, B like Bureau, L like Labor, S like Statistics.gov, G-O-V, and you can read all about how they construct the CPI as well.
So does the stock market usually go up when the CPI report comes out?
Not always. It's like sometimes investors look at that and they treat the report as a glass being half full,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they'll treat it as a glass being half empty.
Gotcha.
So at the end of the day, if investors think that the inflation environment is going to be conducive for business, then that usually helps to improve stock prices. And if they think that it's going to be detrimental to business, then things move the other way.
Great. Well, there's so much more to discuss on the topic of consumer price index, but we're almost out of time here in this segment. We'll try to hit other financial news topics next week.
Yeah, you know, and in case you ever get discouraged by inflation, just remember that there were price increases and inflation in the Bible as well. Maybe we'll have time to talk about that on another show. But I want to leave you with this thought, that 50% of all Americans have a personal net worth of greater than $500,000, and 5% have a net worth greater than $1 million. Still, more than 70% of all Americans report feeling financially stressed. When we get back from our break, in a few minutes, we'll be talking about the reasons that people fail financially and how that impacts their ability to accomplish what God's called them to be in their lives.
And we also have, we will be sharing, after we come back from our break, we have a weekly puzzler. And that will be a weekly puzzle that we hope you all will appreciate. And we will share the email that you can share that with us each week. Hopefully your answers will not be too out there, but hopefully some of you will get it right as well.
That's right. So, thanks again to Holy Family Radio, and we will be right back after a few notes. Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, where we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Many of us have probably prayed the prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But there's a really interesting thing that happens. We don't often connect practical day-to-day reality with this prayer. Just as an example, every time there is money in motion, or any time money lands somewhere, there is an opportunity for a decision or an action that actually is bringing God's kingdom right here to earth, just like it is in heaven.
That's right. And did you know, James, that if you leave an inheritance to your heirs, many seasoned financial advisors report that it is likely that the inheritance will be gone within 2 to 4 years.
Wow, that's so fascinating.
2 to 4 years.
Right. Yeah. Because especially when there's an inheritance, again, there's money landing somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and there's an opportunity that can either be taken advantage of or just not.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Speaking of money in motion, right? Did you know that if you earn $100,000 here in central Pennsylvania, that you are considered middle class? Earning $100,000 per year, I mean, it sounded like it used to be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like it means as much as it used to. But let's pretend that happens every year between your age 30 and you're age 65.
So like your working years.
Your working years.
Right.
Right. $3.5 million will pass through your hands during that time frame.
That's right. And if you earn $250,000 for that same 35-year period, nearly $9 million will pass through your hands between the age of 30 and age 65. That's crazy.
I'm glad I gave you the $250,000 to report on.
I just had to put a different number in there and drop it in.
And drop it in.
That's right. That was easy.
Yeah, I mean, the zeros make it so much easier. Like if you earn $1 million a year.
Times 35. Carry the two.
Yeah.
That would be 35 million.
30, yeah, 35. That's an enormous amount of money, right? But as we said in our first segment when we were taking that out, 70% of all Americans report being financially stressed, right? It's just amazing to me that in a country and an economy where there's so much concentrated wealth, probably more than any other time in history, that so many people should report that not only are they not accomplishing what they'd like to accomplish, and probably not what they feel like God's really calling them to do, but they're actually feeling financially stressed. And the financial stress really does not seem congruent with thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven.
No, it does not. You know, and money that is reported to be one of the leading causes of divorce in America.
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
It's estimated that financial problems contribute to about 40% of all divorces.
Wow, that's a big, big number.
Yeah, and even one study notes that more than 80% of business failures are due to cash flow and money running out.
That's right.
I mean, a lot of pressures there.
That's right. So money there just not doing what folks were hoping or wanting it to do. Right. And mm-hmm. I don't think the statistic is really any different between Christian people and those who would not identify as Christian people.
Right.
Right? I mean, it seems to be a common problem all the way throughout. No matter if you put a group of people together in a room and you ask them their definition of success, mm-hmm. you ask them what they felt God had called them to do, you'd probably come up with a whole group of different answers.
That's right.
Right. But no matter what the definition happens to be, this kind of stress and this kind of just not having money do what you really wanted it to do,
mm-hmm.
it's just not in sync with anyone's definition, right?
Right. That's right.
That's exactly right. So, you know, ironically, though, if you ever really sat those folks down and asked them, hey, did you ever plan to be at that spot?
Right.
They'd probably say no.
Right.
Right. I mean, they didn't plan to be there.
Right.
They just didn't plan anything else.
Right. I mean, the old saying, right? They didn't plan to fail.
They just failed to plan.
That's right.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. They could actually be maybe planning but building on the wrong foundation.
That's correct. That's true too.
Right. I mean, the wrong principles.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we simply don't have time here in this segment and on this show today to really talk about that in depth. But that's probably something we should take some time to really unpack, that building on the right principles can be so important in getting us to where we're trying to go.
Right. And especially with financial principles, right? They don't really change too much. Isn't that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it feels like they do, but a principle like that is kind of like the law of gravity,
mm-hmm.
right? Where, you know, if you're driving a bike down the road, if you're riding a bike and you fall off,
mm-hmm.
the law of gravity says you will fall down and hurt yourself.
Right.
And if you're flying a hot air balloon and you're, you know, 8,000 feet up in the air or however far you are in a balloon.
That same law of gravity.
The same law of gravity, right? And if you're in a great big Boeing jet, the same law of gravity. So the details are different, but the principle is really the same.
So everyone's life circumstance is a little bit different.
That's right.
But the principles that they should adhere to.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So knowing that it's just easy sometimes to look at our own circumstances, whether, you know, maybe we're in business, maybe we've accumulated a fairly sizable nest egg or maybe not, right? But just to look at those circumstances and say, wow, like this doesn't apply to me.
Right.
But it actually does.
Mm-hmm.
It just applies differently in a different set of circumstances. So what are some of the other reasons? I know we had talked about this before we got on the show today, but some of the other reasons why people just don't quite seem to be getting where they're trying to go.
Well, I know the big one now, inflation.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The silent killer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wish I could buy more peanut butter cups.
Just gradually stealing the value of your money through the gradual increase of prices and goods.
That's right.
Inflation, shrinkflation.
That's right. It's so hard to put your finger on that. It just seems to slip away as you go. That's right. Really, I think probably taxes is another big one.
Bad investments.
Bad investments. That's right. How you define a bad investment? But again, we don't have time here to unpack that. We should do that in one of our shows.
And how about the one that folks can't necessarily help? You know, a disability. They become disabled.
That's right.
They didn't fail to, you know, as far as taxes, inflation, failing to plan, disabled, just boom, it just hits you.
It happens. That's right.
You can plan for it and think ahead, but I mean, when it happens, you just don't know what's coming.
That's exactly right. And then honestly, even if there's a good plan, maybe there's no disability that happened, but you just sometimes don't get around to doing it, right? I mean, we hear that all the time, that I intended to do this.
Yeah.
Planned to do it. It was a great thought, but what? You know, I was just getting out of college, and it didn't seem like this was very pressing.
Well, I would say that was the biggest one.
Uh-huh.
Is procrastination.
Procrastination. That is probably tops the list. And it's tough to talk about because if you have been procrastinating, then it's like a soul-searching kind of thing.
Well, and there's a domino effect, right? Like if you're procrastinating, you're putting off creating a budget. That might mean you also avoid checking on your accounts, which might lead to overspending and to late fees.
That's so right.
It could lead to a domino effect.
You're putting off writing your will. Just keeping track of, let's say, agreements you know you should have in your business, just all kinds of things. You're just paying attention to other things, and time just goes by, and pretty soon, before you know it, you're looking back saying, could have, would have, should have.
And right there, the opportunity cost
that you left
on the table. Just when we procrastinate, we're not just losing money, we're losing opportunities.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, speaking of time going by, right? I'm sitting there looking at this clock and it's counting down, and we just have a few minutes left in this segment, but we really want to get to this weekly puzzle that we have going on. And we thought this was a really, really fun weekly puzzle, just kind of a brain teaser. Usually in our shows, we'll be reporting on the weekly puzzle from last week, but this is our first week on Holy Family Radio. So we didn't have an opportunity to report on a puzzle for last week because there wasn't a last week, right? This is episode number one.
That's right. Episode one.
That's exactly right. So what's this puzzle is what about like three different animals, right?
Yeah. Hopefully we can be a little clear about it, you know, trying to get our point across on the radio and not see the actual numbers. I can see it being tricky for some folks, but we'll give it a shot.
That's right. Get out a piece of paper. And get ready to write this down.
That's right. So this puzzle is about a chicken, an ant, a spider, and a dog.
Well, that was four animals. I said three.
Oops.
Oops.
Well, here it goes.
Here it goes.
So a chicken got $7.
Okay.
An ant got $21.
Got it.
A spider got $28.
28. 7, 21, and 28.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
A chicken got 7. An ant got 21, a spider got 28. How much did the dog get? So there's your fourth animal.
How many dollars did the dog get? Right. Mm-hmm. The chicken got 7, the ant got 21, the spider got 28. And how much did the dog get?
So how many dollars did the dog get?
Yeah. Where in the world do people come up with questions like this?
You know, I'm not sure, but we'll keep bringing them to you.
Yeah,
and as we do, just send your responses to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. We'll read the correct answers to the puzzle on next week's show.
That's right. radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. Council is spelled C-O-U-N-C-I-L.
That's right.
That's right. And we will look through those responses and we'll try to read the correct one in our show next week.
That's right. And we're almost out of time here in this segment. But when we come back from our break, we will be sharing some of the possibilities For our problem in our first segment. I know we have some stories we'd like to share, a little bit about Christopher Columbus, Tom Monahan, and maybe some other stories that you'd like to get around
to. A couple of other things, that's right.
Yeah, I think those will tie in nicely and really put it into perspective about those problems and how some folks overcame those and got to the light on the other side.
Yeah, and just good things that can happen when there is good planning and a plan that's followed like that.
That's right.
Well, it's been good to be with you here again on the second segment, and we will be, we are on AM 720.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Here at Holy Family Radio.
WHYF AM. We'll be back in just a few minutes after we have a couple of messages.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles.
Yeah, so working at things financial can sometimes be a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of thing where often it just feels kind of ambiguous and sometimes you get lost. It's easy to get lost in the details.
You know you need to do it, though.
You know you need to do it. That's right. But maybe there's other things that just rank a lot higher on your definition of what you would rather be doing.
And you don't know where to start.
It's tough to know exactly where to start. And then, you know, if there's not really a plan, or maybe, you know, you're trying to share a vision of something that you're working at with other people.
Mm-hmm.
All of that gets involved in working on things financial. In the segment we just left, we were talking about some of the problems, right, that money can cause. But when we think about it, really, money is a tool.
That's right.
Right? It helps get things done, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or intentional or unintentional.
Mm-hmm.
Money is a tool. Every time money lands somewhere, there's an opportunity for something to happen, and it gets something done. And maybe in a similar kind of way, money is also a test. It's a test. Maybe, you know, if you're tithing, that's kind of a test of your faith. Jesus said one time that when whatever's in your heart is what tends to come out. So if you are doing something with money, that is a little bit of a test of what's happening inside your heart.
Right.
And,
that's correct. Well, and, could you share some success stories as examples of when people have accomplished by following, like, good planning techniques?
Yeah. So again, we don't think about stories often as just following good planning techniques. But, you know, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Mm-hmm.
And
we all know that story. Nina Pinta Santa Maria.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Mm-hmm.
But what was Columbus thinking about, right, when that came up? I guess there was, at the time, there was a trade route that went from east to west. So Europe was trading goods and services back and forth with the Orient, mm-hmm. the Far East, and all that
was Silk Road.
Yeah, that's right. It was coming over the mountains, it was coming through the Middle East, and then being shipped across the Mediterranean Sea. So
they wanted a shorter route.
They wanted a shorter route, right. But, if you know, it's interesting. If you actually read in the book of Ezekiel, you will see references to that trade route.
Mm.
The book of Nahum talks about how in Nineveh, at the head of the Euphrates River in what is now today Iraq, there were so many small businesses that came that were operating at the time that you just couldn't count them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the biblical text says there was more small businesses than there were stars in the sky. So this was huge. I mean, it was the whole world economy was shipping back and forth across that trade route.
and I'm sure it was different kingdoms too.
Different kingdoms,
queens, empires.
Right. Empires.
They all faced the same issue.
That's right, and they rose and fell along that trade route all throughout the biblical text. So there's Columbus, and he really thought that there could be a more efficient trade route, and I'm sure there was some profit motive going on at the same time. There was just one problem, and that is that Columbus did not have any money. You know, age old problem. There's something I'd like to do, but I don't have any money, right?
He needed a loan.
That's right. And so I don't know how many governments he went and asked for money, and every single one said no. Right. So he's sharing his vision. Hey, I think this could happen. Everybody said, you're nuts. You're crazy, right? You can't do that. And until he gets to the Queen of Spain. And the Queen of Spain agrees to put money into his project. And suddenly something could happen. He was suddenly able to buy the supplies that he needed. He was able to hire the sailors that were needed.
And all the provisions.
All the provisions, yeah. And the whole project suddenly was able to happen. But you know what's interesting there? The whole point of that is that money came out of the Queen of Spain's coffers, out of the proverbial national checkbook, if you will.
Right.
Money came out, and because that money funded Christopher Columbus's project, the world, as we know it, the trajectory of the world was changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, honestly, when you think about it, the influence of the Spanish culture, and Spain was strongly Catholic,
mm-hmm.
right? And that influence spread throughout the Western Hemisphere.
That's right.
Probably in a way that wouldn't have happened if, like, the King of England had funded the project, right? So money started having a really tangible effect all throughout history, and it formed a basis for what we know today and some of the influences that we have in our world today. So Columbus is kind of a great example. Now, I don't know, you know, was there good planning? Is it good planning to, like, send three ships off if you think they may fall off the face of the earth, right? Arguably, that may not be very good planning, but
right.
But there is an example of how money turned into.
And I'm sure the queen wouldn't have done that without a good plan in place.
Yeah, that's right. But she was willing to do that.
Uh-huh.
And so money suddenly turned into something really tangible that forever changed the course of history for those people involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know another example of how good planning can change the course of history, the Ursuline sisters. You know, the roots of Catholic Charities are traced to the Ursuline sisters, a Catholic religious order. They achieved their significant accomplishments through their charities during the reign of King Louis XV of France in the 1700s, due to his support and their meticulous planning. And I know their meticulous planning was, you know, had four parts. They had a strategic network, they had efficient administration, and they adapted their needs, and they were committed to educational excellence.
You know, although as they were putting it together, they probably were not sitting there saying, hey, we've got, efficient planning, right? I mean, they were just really focused on what they were doing,
mm-hmm.
and pulling together resources to help make their vision and what God was calling them to become a reality.
Well, like you said, pulling together those resources and raising awareness, because they cultivated a strong network of influential supporters. You know, it helped them secure resources and gain access to decision makers,
mm-hmm.
who could help open doors to opportunities and raise awareness for their cause. They also, you know, they established well-organized structure to manage their growing charitable operations. And talk about planning. They meticulously kept records. They tracked their expenses and ensured that all of their resources were used effectively and transparently.
Right. Wow. And then this domino effect started to happen. Right. I mean, they got their project accomplished, and then other projects were built on top of that. And as you said today, Catholic Charities traces back to the work that they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's the combination of, you know, King Louis and the Ursuline sister, the strategic planning, it resulted in remarkable achievements. And through that work, that commitment, the calls, you know, through God and that good strategic planning, they were able to establish numerous schools and orphanages and hospitals throughout France and its colonies. And in early on here in America, they landed in New Orleans. That's where they got their start.
Yeah.
And that was the roots for, like, the Catholic charities here in our country.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's just, it's so exciting to me to kind of think back on that. That, I mean, again, they really didn't know. They couldn't look ahead and see exactly the impact that they were going to have by the work that they were doing right there. They're just really focused. They were just really focused on what was in front of them and being good stewards, right? And being responsible.
That's right.
With that at the time. And then God blessed what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to note that. You know, money, we say all the time that money, it all belongs to God, but it's one thing to talk about that, and it's quite another thing to actually do it. And sometimes you get into the middle of a project like that, and while you're saying, hey, it all belongs to God, and so on, you get those feelings like, hey, this is my money, and I'm kind of scared, and so on and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is one other story that we want to hit, but I think maybe we're going to try to pick that up in the fourth segment. I think we'll run out of time here in this segment, so we'll hit that third story when we come back. But we'll note here that like we said earlier, everyone's circumstances are a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'll kind of hit on this again, and when we get to the fourth segment, your circumstances may not look a lot like Columbus's.
Right.
Right. Your circumstances may not look like, you know, the Catholic charities that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone in their own set of circumstances has opportunities to be taking what they have and what God's given them and kind of shape that into a plan going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and like you said, everyone has a different calling.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has a different way to minister their calling, whether it's through giving, whether through resources, their time, their energy. It's, you know, they have a different capacity and a different calling. So
that's right. That's right. So the important thing is really not to be saying, oh, my goodness, can I duplicate what Christopher Columbus did?
Right.
Or can I duplicate what Catholic Charities did?
What can I do?
That's right. And how can I learn and study and apply the discipline and the principles in my own set of circumstances to be what God has called me to be?
That's right.
Right. And one of the things that you can do is to send us an idea for a weekly puzzler.
Yeah, we'll take your ideas. We'll send them out there. If you don't like the dog, ant, and spider one, yeah, let us know your ideas.
That's right. Yeah, and if it's a puzzle that we think, oh my goodness, we should put that on the air, then we can do that as well. Well, I think we're just about out of time here on this segment. I'm excited to share the third story in our fourth segment, but we're going to break again for a couple of announcements and a couple of thank yous, and then we'll be back for the fourth segment. Again, we're here on Holy Family Radio at www.720whyf.com on the internet, and we look forward to talking with you again in a few minutes. Welcome back to Money in Mission, where we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical principles here on Holy Family Radio, www.720whyf.com.
That's right, and I am your co-host, Eric Terrio, and I am here with
James Good, and together we're hosting Money in Mission. Wow, the hour is just flying by here, isn't it? Isn't it, Eric?
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. You know, we said as we took out our last segment that we have one more story that we want to talk about of just an example of what can happen when there's good planning and a success story that happens. You know, a number of years ago, I actually don't know how many now, right? But this gentleman named Tom Monahan,
mm-hmm.
right? Tom Monahan buys a Domino's pizza. Now, it wasn't called Domino's Pizza at that point. I think he and his brother they took out a small loan. They started up this pizza shop, and the pizza shop ended up becoming wildly successful, right? We know it today as Domino's Pizza.
That's right. It started out, it was called Dominick's.
Dominick's.
Yep, with a $900 loan.
With a $900 loan.
That's right.
Now, you know, honestly, I guess he also, Tom Monahan, became the owner of the Detroit Tigers.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, I don't know if you're a Tigers fan.
No.
Or not.
I'm from Maryland. I'm an Orioles fan.
Yeah, there you go.
They're actually doing pretty good this year.
They are. Yeah,
they are.
Yeah, that's right. I like the Orioles.
Oh, well, I like you a little bit better now.
Yeah, that's right. You knew there was something about me that was okay.
That's right.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, if the Tom Monahan story had stopped there, some people would think he was okay because they like the Tigers, and other people wouldn't. But
the pizza's good.
And the pizza is good. That's right. But he would be an example of someone, you know, a savvy entrepreneur who was very successful and, you know, built up a financial empire and was just very successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the story had stopped right there.
So what else did he do?
Well, I think actually probably his greatest achievement came later in life, when he decided to fully immerse himself in charitable work and Catholic philanthropy.
Mm.
I mean, he was concerned about education in a world that was fleeing, you know, religious principles, and so he divested himself of all his business responsibilities and set out to build, at the time, America's newest Catholic University.
Oh, wow.
Today, we know that university as Ave Maria University.
Oh, okay.
And it's just, you know, an enormously influential university.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, wow, talk about what an impact can be had when there's a good plan, a good business plan, and a good financial plan, right, that's followed and someone is committed to letting those dollars actually bring God's kingdom right to mm-hmm. earth, you know, just like it is in heaven.
Instead of the Queen and Columbus's situation, it seems like he had the business skills from building up his companies.
That's right.
So he had those planning
That's right.
skills, and he knew how to execute.
That's right. And I'm sure on a relative basis, probably Columbus needed a lot more than the equivalent of Tom Monahan's $900.
That's right. Right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But wow, what an amazing difference, right? And I think, you know, probably many of our listeners are familiar with Ave Maria University and the wonderful things that are happening there in Christian higher education. So, but we had said, you know, we had said that we wanted to share that one more story with you and just note again that your circumstances may be very different than Tom Monahan's.
Right.
Your circumstances may be very different than the Ursula sisters.
Right.
And maybe very different than Christopher Columbus. But, you know, maybe you're at a spot where you've accumulated some wealth. Maybe you do have a business, right? And you're just kind of saying, I wonder how in the world I can kind of get from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, every day I get up and I run my business and I'm just deep in the middle of the weeds and it just doesn't feel like that connection is there, as we talked about earlier. Or, you know, again, maybe you're putting money in your IRA or retirement plan and you're just not quite sure how the details connect
mm-hmm.
in making that connection. So You know, we do want to share a couple of tools that we've found and resources that we've found to be helpful. When we're on the air like this, we can't make recommendations.
Right.
Right. And because everyone's circumstances are different. So, but we do want to share just a couple of ideas. I'm looking here at an app on my phone.
Yes.
Right. And I think you saw that app as well.
I did.
And, you know, this is an app that's called FaithFi.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just faith, like faith, FaithFi.
So. And have you used this app yourself?
I actually have, yes.
What features do you find the most valuable?
Well, it's a budgeting tool. It keeps track of that. And frankly, that's all that we really use it for.
Mm-hmm.
Just that.
Mm-hmm.
But for folks who are wanting to keep track of things in an organized format, it provides that resource, but it does it in the context of biblical principles.
Right.
Right. I mean, so many apps and so many resources are mm-hmm. out there that, you know, you can keep track of your money, but then you're always getting these ideas about serving money first and falling in love with it.
That's
and so
right.
on and so forth. And FaithFi is a great way of fulfilling some of those functions, but helping to keep the focus on putting God first and having a heart for God.
And from looking into the app myself, it looks like not only does it offer a customizable budgeting system, it goes beyond that. It provides a wealth of resources like articles. It has podcasts, videos that address a wide range of financial topics from a Christian perspective.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So you can, you know, anybody can go, if they're on their phone, they can go to the App Store and just look up FaithFi, FaithFi, and download the app. So each person, everybody needs to decide if that's a resource that's really useful for them or if it's not a resource that's useful for them.
Yeah, FaithFi, faith and finance.
That's right. FaithFi. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So I'm, you know, different topic, right? But related. I'm looking at
another tool. Planning.
That's mm-hmm. right. I'm looking at a book here, and this book is called "Navigating Your Finances God's Way."
That's right.
Now, this book, you can also visit a website, CompassFinancialMinistry.org. Compass is spelled C-O-M-P-A-S-S. CompassFinancialMinistry.org. And what you'll find there is just a bunch of resources that offer a theological but practical framework to pray, talk, and work through finances and wealth. And if this book that I'm looking at is any indication, this book is actually really designed as like a 6-week study.
Mm-hmm.
In working through
like a little mini workshop.
Yeah. Like a mini study.
Okay.
Right. I mean, when I think workshop, I think like, you know, one.
I was just thinking doing it in steps.
That's right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Complete with homework and so on and so forth. And, but this is a great resource too. So working through a resource like this one, can be great for like you and your family. If you catch the vision, you know, maybe you'd want to do something like this with other people in your church and just have a little study together. But it's a resource. It doesn't, you know, and it doesn't sell products either. There's nothing in here about a particular product or something to sell. This is all about helping people to have, again, a practical but theological framework for working through and understanding finances and wealth in the context of biblical principles.
Yeah, and what I like about it, you know, Compass goes beyond just budgeting and investing. It addresses the emotional and spiritual aspects of money,
mm-hmm.
you know, emphasizing concepts like contentment, generosity, and stewardship. Those are all very important as well.
That's exactly right. And
but James, in your experience, what are the biggest challenges people face when trying to align their finances with their faith, and how do you address those?
So one of the biggest challenges really is just not seeing the connection, right? Not really understanding that when I do something with money, I mean, money just feels like money.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't often tie that back to and understand how that is actually a live physical representation of what's going on inside of our hearts.
Right.
Right. And so we sort of divorce faith from finances. And clearly what we're trying to do here on the show is bring those two back together again. And, you know, the Bible tells us in the first chapter of Psalms that we are always we're blessed, right? When we're focused on godly principles and we spend time like that and we bring those together, we are like it says there that we're like a tree that becomes very fruitful in its own season. So
how do you like help clients discern between like needs and wants, especially in the context of, you know, like consumerism and like outside societal pressures?
Yeah, so people really need to. It's a prayer thing. It's a prayer thing, Eric, where, you know, prayerfully in front of God, we say, let the words of my mouth and let the meditation of my heart be acceptable, right, in your sight. And then we allow the Holy Spirit to kind of speak to us as we have our checkbooks out and our financial plans. And we're literally letting the Holy Spirit come in and help to direct what it is that we're setting as goals and wants. Right?
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to Money and Mission here. We're looking forward to seeing you next week. I'm James Good.
And I'm Eric Terrio here on WHYF 720.
Make it a blessed week.